Good to have you all here. Special welcome to our guests this evening also. We pray that our service of worship will be a blessing to each of you. A couple of announcements I want to highlight for you, remind you that tonight's the final occasion. If you want to sign up and let me know about the Oasis Gardens and you want to do some gardening this summer there, let me know because I need to get back to Oasis about those plots. Also, I've got a sign-up sheet tonight, too, if anybody's interested in starting to do that. In the season of Easter, during the 50 days, we're going to do a community congregational reading of the entire New Testament. And it's going to be easy the first time around. Second time, we might ask people to read all of the chapters and verses. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament and 7,957 verses. But what we're going to do instead is I've got a sign-up sheet where somebody would say, well, my favorite gospel is Luke or is Mark or something. Or you say, well, I want Jude because it's only one chapter long. And you sign up for one of those, and during the 50 days of Easter, that's your assignment. As a member of the congregation to read that one book of the Bible. And then the hope is that we'll get 27 people that want to do this. We got 27 books in the New Testament. And in the 50 days of Easter, you commit to at least reading it once. And if you got something short, you might want to read like the book of Jude every day for 50 days, huh? Anyway, I've got that tonight for you to look at for signing up. Remember this Saturday, we've got some special guests. One of our supporters, Emmanuel Lutheran of Grafton, is coming. And they're going to have their church choir. About 15 to 20 people will be with us from there. And they're going to sing like four or five gifts of music too. So we're looking forward to that. If you haven't yet, invite somebody to come and join you for a wonderful evening of music and worship, word and sacrament, proclamation. Tonight, a special thank you to Julie Stephenson, Fred Mork, and Bob Porsche. They are our drama participants. You probably noticed it looks like spring training. And so that kind of sets the stage for our drama for tonight. Next week, it's going to be on doubt, proof, and faith. And Pastor Dan Berklin will be with us doing a character sketch. So keep that in mind also. And then remember on the inside of your Emmanuel Weekly, on the insert, we have the four verses for our Lenten hymn. It's to the tune of, "Lead on, O King Eternal," but the words are from "By All Your Saints in Warfare." I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I invite you to turn to page 2 of your Holden Evening Prayer and rise as you are able. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power, resurrect us from the dead.
Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race.
Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul.
Love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heaven's splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice, let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way,
loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day.
The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Amen.
You may be seated for Psalm 141. Women will follow Julie with group one, and men can follow me with the echo and group two.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. O God, I call to you.
O God, I call to you.
Come to me now.
For hear my voice when I cry to you.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you.
The lifting up of my hands as an offering to you.
Keep watch within me, God.
Keep watch within me, God. Deep in my heart, may the light of your love be burning bright.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you.
The lifting up of my hands as an offering to you.
All praise to the God of all.
Oh, praise to the God of all, Creator of life. Oh, praise be to Christ and the Spirit of love.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you.
The lifting up of my hands as an offering to you.
Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend upon us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Bob Borish will be doing our character sketch in a few minutes, and he's asked me to read three passages of Scripture: 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, John chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, and John chapter 16, verse 33. A reading from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed. From St. John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 16. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Word of God.
Come on, batter, swing. Ah, ball. What's the count?
One and two. Come on, Pete. Give it some heat. Strike three. Another K. Another K for Simon Peter. That's three strikeouts so far tonight. Pete sure has improved over the last couple of years.
I'll say. Look alive out there, second base. This guy's fast. Watch the steal. Whole team has improved. Greatly since Jesus became coach. Best coach in the league, I'd say.
Best coach ever. Look how the guys work together. It's almost like they can read each other's minds. That never would have happened before Jesus came.
The sign of a good coach, to see hidden talent in each player, bring it out, develop it, and then use it.
Exactly right. And that's what Jesus has done. Done with our team. It's like each player has a calling. Philip at the hot corner, and look at that, John behind the plate catching.
Nathaniel at first, Thomas in center, they play like a well-oiled machine.
And every player exactly where they need to be, where they'll do the best for the team.
Including us.
That's right.
Well, somebody has to keep the bench warm.
Well, right. 12 apostles, 9 in the field, and 2 on the bench. Hey, whatever happened to Judas?
Switch teams. There he is now, coming up to bat.
Oh, so Judas is playing for the demons now?
Yeah.
Yes, he would have. I guess we should have seen that coming, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? Strike him out, Peter!
He will, just watch.
Yeah, it's just like I was saying. Everybody on the team is in the place where he'll do best. Even us.
So what about us, then? What kind of special talent does it take to warm the bench?
Now, don't go putting yourself down, Jude. Jesus wouldn't keep us in the dugout if he didn't have a reason, you know.
Such as?
Well, I keep the stats. Yeah. You watch the equipment.
But anybody can do that.
All right, that's true. But there's something we have that the others don't have.
Like what?
Our humility.
That's good, right.
No, I'm serious, Jude. Anybody else, they'd be up in the face of the coach. They'd say, put me in, coach. They'd be demanding a few innings. Not us. We're happy right here. If coach needs us, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine, too.
Yeah, we do have humility.
Plus, being laid back like this is good for the team. Helps the other guys keep perspective.
Yeah, I suppose you're right there.
Of course I am.
One thing, though? I'm more humble than you.
What? No way!
I sure am.
Hey, look, I'm James the Less. Everybody who knows Jesus knows there's a great Apostle James. And then there's me, James the Less. James the Little. James the Little, the left out! I mean, they might as well tattoo a big letter L on my forehead.
I still got you beat.
How is that?
I go down in history as the patron saint of lost causes.
So, you're proud of your humility?
Yes, I am. No. Well, anyway, I'm still more humble than you are.
Right. Whatever.
I got a question. Why is Thomas called the twin? Isn't he an only child?
Don't you remember? Double-minded, believing one moment, doubting the next. Besides, his father owns the team. Minnesota Twins, that's us!
All right. You know, I think you're right about the humility thing. Jesus needs some humble people on his team, don't you think so?
Absolutely. Some humble bench warmers. They also serve who only sit, wait, and collect splinters.
And we are just the ones to do it. To me, being humble means not putting yourself forward, not thinking that you're all special and great. Being humble means staying in the background.
Humility, the art of doing nothing.
Exactly. Nobody better than us.
Well, that's another ending. Find Andrew his bat, will you? He's up next.
Right.
Jude, James. James, Jude, start warming up. Jesus wants you in. Next inning.
Excuse me?
Who, us?
Yeah, you. Who do you think?
Actually, I was thinking not me. I was thinking anyone but me.
Yeah, same here, Jude.
What's she thinking of? Uh-huh.
Is this a good time for confession?
Tell me all about it, brother.
I mean, I can count balls and strikes and all, but I'm not even sure I know how to play this game. Not really.
I'd have to say the same thing here, old buddy. Hangout equipment, yes. Actually use it? That's another question altogether. So are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Maybe if we slip away quietly, Jesus won't find us.
And if he can't find us, he'll eventually give up and put someone else in the game.
Right. Let's go.
Oh, there you are. You guys ready to play?
Sure, Jesus. We're right here, ready to go anytime you want.
You bet. We're your guys.
Sure are. Kinda, anyway.
Sorta?
Actually, no.
Not at all. Better find someone else.
Yeah, that's right. He's right.
What? I can't believe it. What's with you two? You're my apostles. I called you guys. You know that. To be on my team. And now you won't play for me?
Oh, no. Seriously, Jesus. I mean, we like being on your team, don't we?
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're your apostles and all, and it's great, you know, but we've already found our place.
Our place is right there on the bench.
Uh-huh. We're not real good as players, especially, you know. I mean, we're the humble sort.
Yeah, humble.
Uh-huh. Very humble. I mean, there's nothing special about us.
Hey, you have some very good players out there, Jesus. Better keep that lineup in the game.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, you guys. I'm all for humility. But just what do you think humility is?
You know, not bragging, not putting yourself forward.
Hanging back. How did you say it best? Deny yourselves. Well, that's what we're doing. For us, humility is...
doing nothing.
That's it, nothing.
No, whining and complaining that you're no good isn't humility. That's just another way of being selfish.
A really weird way of being selfish.
Granted, but selfish all the same. When it comes to my team, there's no difference between someone who won't play and someone who can't.
Don't you hate bragging? I thought, I remember you saying that pride is one of the worst sins.
Of course it is. Pride is self-centered, nasty, and just plain wrong. You may have noticed that I didn't choose any stars, though, for my team. Nobody who plays for me is more interested in his own career than in the good of the team.
So that's what we're doing. We're avoiding pride by staying in the background.
Right. No pride here. We're humble.
But you don't avoid pride by denying every talent you do have. Don't you see? False humility is just as self-absorbing as pride. It's still all about you. whether you brag about your talents or deny them.
But what about the other guys? I mean, Peter's an excellent pitcher, and there's no better third baseman than Philip. I mean, those guys have real talent. Don't they have a right to be proud?
And how did they get their talent?
Well, we were just talking about that. You gave it to them. You called it out of them, so to speak.
Right. And they all know it. They were called by me. And they're responding, and they're the guys with real humility.
So what is real humility?
Real humility happens when you use your talent for the good of the team. Not denying your talent, not using it selfishly, use it for the team.
So it doesn't really matter that history is going to forget all about us?
Or assign us to lost causes?
Not at all. You play for me. I'll remember you forever. And whatever you do for me will be anything but a lost cause. Now, if we're going to win this game, I need Jude in left field and James at short.
Right. Get my bat for me, will you, Jude?
I say, James, you don't need a bat to play shortstop.
Oh, yeah, right.
And,
left field is that way. Shortstop.
Thanks. We won't let you down, coach.
I know you won't. Play ball.
We rise as we are able for our Lenten hymn, found in your bulletin insert.
Saints in warfare, for all your saints at rest, your holy name, O Jesus, evermore be blessed. For you have won the battle that they might wear the crown. And now they shine in glory, reflected from your throne. We praise your name for Philip, blessed guide to Greek and Jew, and for young James the faithful, who heard and followed you. O grant us grace to know you, the way, the truth, the life, and wrestle with temptation till victors in the strife. Praise, Lord, for your apostles who sealed their faith that day. One love, one hope impelled them to tread the sacred way. May we with zeal as earnest the faith of Christ maintain, and following these our brothers at length your rest attain. Then let us praise the Father and worship God the Son, and sing to God the Spirit, eternal three in one, till all the ransom number fall down before the throne, ascribing power and glory and praise to God alone.
You may be seated.
There. I don't know. Okay. Is my face too much? Okay. Pastor Stephenson asked if I would consent to present a brief character sketch on one of the disciples. Although I was assigned one disciple, Jude, for the drama, there are two, James the Less and Jude. I decided to use both of them. I quickly discovered that keeping my remarks brief would be as easy as pie. And here it goes. I don't know if this is why he chose me. James the Less is mentioned in all four lists of the 12 disciples. He's called James, the son of Alphaeus, and his name appears three more times in connection with that of his mother, Mary, one of the women who supported Jesus. He is not recorded in the Bible as either saying or doing anything else as an individual. Jude is mentioned in all four lists of the disciples, as Jude and as Thaddeus, as son or probably brother of James. He is not recorded in the Bible as either doing or saying anything as an individual. There you go. Brief. This is almost as much recorded on Jude as on my record that I formerly had of the Beatles, which said, "Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better." Actually, Josephus, who is a reliable early Jewish historian, says that Jude was killed by first stoning him and then clubbing him to death. And there you have it. Oh, that's it now. That's brief. People in the pew generally like brief. I went to a former congregation, and one of the members there asked me, "What are you doing in retirement?" And I told him, "Well, when I sit in worship now, I do a lot more of this." And he just automatically spurted out, just like, "You should have done that when you were preaching here." Maybe too brief. I talked to him, and I thought maybe there'd be a little more here. So I'll add a little bit more. Names and what they do as a group. James is minor, like a minor leaguer. Minor. Less, small, short, young, something in there. He wasn't like James, like brother of John, James and John. He wasn't like James, Jesus' brother, head of the Jerusalem church. He's James the less, or small, or young, or... He's not nearly as prominent. His mom is mentioned twice by Matthew and John as among the group of disciples, and I'm sure you'll read this in Lent, the women who observed Jesus when he was dying on the cross. And also his mother is mentioned from Easter morning when the women, Salome and Mary Magdalene, go to the grave, and they go in there, and they're the people who ask, "Who's going to roll the stone away for us?" And they see the angel sitting there who tells them that Jesus is not there. He is risen from the dead. They leave terrified. And they don't say anything to anybody. She's one of those, just James the Less's mother. And I'm sure she said something later to her boy, James the Less, but not on this particular morning. His symbol is a saw. He supposedly was sawed in two. That's stuff that's not. You know, a lot of this stuff you can't believe, but some maybe you can. Judah, Old Testament, Yehuda, Judah, the fourth son of Leah and Jacob. He's not Judas, that's from the town of Kirioth, Judas Iscariot. He's not Jude, who wrote the New Testament book, Jesus' brother, who's also Jesus' brother Simeon and Joseph. Judas, good solid name, religious name, family name. I looked up the same name on baby name websites under Jude, and it said, it has a zippy sound. We live in a different age. We live in an age of extreme creativity in names. Have you ever heard of James the Less? Or son of Alphaeus and Mary? Or do you hear too much of Jude? If you're Armenian, then you would know that Thaddeus
is the patron saint of your country. And supposedly, they built a monastery, a church here in A.D. 68. So that's fairly solid. People kind of agree on that. Somehow he got this title of the disciple, the saint of desperate and lost causes. And so there's nothing in the Bible like that. And I don't know where they came up with a name like that for him. Maybe some of you don't. Perhaps you've read prayers to St. Jude. I hope, we don't pray to St. Jude. I'm sure you don't do that. They're in the paper all the time. Saint of lost causes. When Amos Muzad Yaqub Kariruz promised that if he ever would find success in acting, that he would dedicate a shrine to St. Jude. He fervently believed that no child should die in the dawn of life. He found success in show business, and Danny Thomas in 1962 built St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. And I don't know if he knew Jude either, but he, patron saint of lost. When I was a boy, one of the neighbor's sons, one of the Weller boys, big, must have been 6'4" or 6'5", was a strong boy. He was about 20 years old. He just ran out of steam. He just felt weak, went to the University of Minnesota Hospital, and he had a leaky valve. And they performed surgery there in 1962 or 3, and nobody expected him to live, and he didn't. In 1976, St. Jude Medical was founded in St. Paul, Minnesota, pioneering manufacturer of implantable mechanical heart valves. And hopeless went to hopeful, and desperate went to routine. God's healing. Everything connected to his name doesn't necessarily work. St. Jude is also the patron saint of the Chicago Police Department. It's maybe too much. Well, if there's any, there's not necessarily Jude doing anything individually, but as a team, he was picked for the team. He was picked out of this whole crew of disciples. If you've ever been out for a sport or something, he made the cut. We're 70, maybe more than 70. Jesus prayed all night, like the pastor said last week, and he came up with 12, and two of which were James the Less and Thaddeus or Jude. They, in that whole group then. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus heal. He saw people, Jesus give hope. He heard Jesus' promises for all kinds of things, include life eternal. He heard Jesus, he saw Jesus raise people from the dead, feed thousands of people, still storms, rebuke, defend, comfort people. He, along with St. Peter, said, left all to follow Jesus. He heard the Sermon on the Mount, fear not, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Are you not worthy, more worthy than the sparrows? If you acknowledge me before my Father who is in heaven, I will acknowledge you. But if you deny me before my Father is in heaven, I will deny you. He was at the Last Supper. He was at the garden. The two were both at the Garden of Gethsemane. They heard Peter say, Lord, even if everybody else denies you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples, that would be James the Less, and would say the same. Shortly before, they all denied him by cowering and hiding out so they didn't have to say that they were his disciples and be killed because of it. And even there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, but after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So even before that, he had heard somehow that he would be forgiven even if he did deny him. They received they were at Pentecost. They received the Great Commission, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And not insignificantly, they both died for our Lord. Obscure, yes, but noble martyrs of the cross. James the Less, little Jimmy, and his sidekick Jude didn't let obscurity be a reason for inaction. Humility wasn't the same as for these ball players here on the bench on this particular day. They accomplished extraordinary things. Within 250 years, the whole Roman world knew about Jesus. It was the official religion of the empire in the early 300s. They have days, when we can remember them, October 28th for Jude and May 3rd for James the Less. Maybe it's a day to remember other people, unknown in your own life. Just think of all the people in your own life. They're unknown to everybody else. Or just think over the hundreds of years, when I went to church with my grandpa and grandma, are confirmed, baptized and confirmed in Germany, for all the hundreds of years, all the people that kept the faith alive, think of Abraham and all the people in between, Abraham and Jesus. All the people that God, unknown people that God has used so that we're sitting here in this place know God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Savior God. And maybe try to be like them. Unknown people who help people down through the ages. Are you famous? I'm not really famous. This morning somebody called and our son-in-law lives in London. He dresses up. He's a proper-looking businessman. And a young British boy came up to him and asked him, because he was dressed that way, "Are you famous?" No. I'm not famous either. I was thinking that I'm not. But in a way, I am famous. At Christmas time, our granddaughter wrote out a Christmas card. And on it, she wrote, "Dear Grandpa and Grandma." And she had it all sealed and ready to go for the postman, thinking that the whole world would know Grandpa and Grandma Porish. Who would know them? Everybody should know them, from the postman all the way through. And actually thought that. And what? So we have fame with our grandchildren. And it brings us good cheer. And it's the same kind of good cheer that comes from knowing that God knows us. That it doesn't matter that we are unknown, like Paul says, but that we are known by God. That we know that He loves us. That we know that it's true when we sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We're like these people. Now listen today. We've heard Jesus. We've seen Him heal with our own eyes. We've seen Him and eaten with Him at the Lord's Supper. We've denied Him and deserve to have Him deny us. We've seen Him die by faith. We've seen Him die and rise again on the cross. We've received His forgiveness right here in the church from the pastor as if Jesus Himself were standing here. We've received the Holy Spirit for power and courage in the baptism. We have been given the Holy Spirit and the Great Commission. We're like James the Less. We're like Jude. We're here. We're fairly obscure. But that doesn't mean that God can't use us and doesn't use us as He used them. It's a great time to God to use people right now. The people, the country, and the world needs us. They need us to be messengers to the world. They need people who have the courage of Jude and James the Less to go out into the world and tell people about what real humility is. And this is what real humility is, according to St. Paul, and for us, and firsthand, right away, close up, from Jude and James the Less. And we, because we're blessed, even though we haven't seen Jesus like they did. You know it. It goes like this. You can probably even say it along with me. This is humility. Have this mind among yourselves, and this is how they learned it and how we learn it. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is humility that we follow, as did James the Less and Jude.
Thank you, Bob. Page 9 of your bulletin. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days,
he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will." We rise.
My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here, and bless me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one. Strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
for all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.